How many of you learn piece by piece? Learning piece by piece means one addition after another until the fullness of God's plan comes in. I was looking all over for my water bottle because, and I had already prepared it and lost track of it. Does that sound normal?
Yes.
Then, let's say a great deal of different things that have come together one piece at a time. And on the 27th at 2 a.m., he pressed in 1 Peter 1:18. You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You know, I pondered this truth. Some of us have lived our lives, and I did for a long time, with the traditions of men. But that the Lord was created in the same, I believe, the same chapter, 1 Peter 1:20. It says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed for our sake in these last times. So, I wanted to make sure that I understood. The Lord was chosen, but so were we chosen. See, it says many are called and few are chosen. Chosen means that you can be trusted. Called is a gift to come in. I believe the 500 that were in the book of Acts, there was 120 that were chosen. The 380 were called. I look at some of the reports that go on in our country and how discouraging it is to watch the fires go. I believe that God is not caught by surprise. He's on the job. It may not be understood. It may not be comprehended. But I remind you that he allowed Jerusalem to be completely destroyed by fire in 70 AD. I also believe that all the believers were out of the city by then, because we know from the book of Acts that they sold everything. So they didn't lose anything. They were commissioned to go out and preach the good news to the north, south, east, and west. So what was left, the city of Jerusalem, when the fire came, was the unbelievers and those that may have been called but couldn't choose to follow him. So when we question God, why does he allow what he allows? And of course, when I was a boy, World War II was in progress. When my uncle came home from the service, I was a very happy young man because I missed him. He was my mother's brother, but he was also my dad's best buddy. hospital for his last time. As I read from Wade Taylor's book, that I can understand what he has written in 2002. That was something new for me, because the book that I'm talking about is a book that I've had for a number of years, and I've read it more than once. He was a spiritual father to me for a season in my life. Wade Taylor actually was obedient to revive a whole school in New York State that had been given up for dead. He came from Albany, and when he was a young man, had developed a cable system in the city of Albany, and he sold it in order to obey the Lord. And then he went and lived on the property where my old pastor was ordained and where I was ordained. I don't want to go into details. I just want you to know I've known of him and I've known him, and that's important. So reading his books, the last three books he wrote before he died are a picture of the kingdom that's coming, that's being set up. You can read his material and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other ear and it doesn't touch for some odd reason. It's like reading a foreign language. But this time, as I was reading, the spirit of understanding was in me to a degree that I was saying, yes, for the first time, it's not work to read this book. It's a joy. So I was saying, yes, Holy Spirit, I know you have come into me and brought understanding to have some of what you gave to this man of God. And I can see it's your plan for the refiner's fire to burn away the chaff, including the old ways of selfishness, all of the dark, unclean spirits that use me and abuse me. Yes, it is sin in me who did this in hopes that I would never meet my Redeemer. And he is my Lord and my King, and I will do his will. And of course, then I went to Romans 7, which I shared with you guys on Tuesday, confirming that the power of sin uses us, and then the enemy blames us, and it is his workmanship. The darkness works its wonders and then accuses us for doing that darkness. Amen. And until Romans 8:1 comes into life and Romans 8:2 becomes a reality, you stop condemning yourself and you say, I am righteous by faith. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you Amen. Declare your freedom from darkness. Amen. And your mouth makes you an overcomer. Your mouth starts the work of overcoming. Then that day, I was listening to Tim Sheets. And of course, he was preaching from Isaiah 55, verse 11. And he pointed out, that's why the tithe. Angels are coming. And new Pentecost like I've never known. New portals are being opened up in times. At this time, and they are upon us, and wisdom and understanding are coming. If you don't think I wasn't jumping, because you see, at whatever time it was in the morning, very early, I knew the spirit of understanding was on me that day. This was just a confirmation to me that the spirit of understanding was going deeper. He was just locking in and saying, are you going to catch on? My spirit of understanding is in you. It is doing a work, and now you're tasting its fruits.
Amen.
The other day, my great-granddaughter was at our house. And she asked her grandmother, great grandmother, if she could make some cupcakes, because the three kids were with us. So obviously cupcakes would be a real solution. Well, it was a Betty Crocker box that she found, yellow cake mix. She's going to use chocolate frosting, going to be the best. But it was the weirdest recipe. And my wife says, the things that were in it were just not the normal things, like a stick of butter and blah, blah. And then when she cooked them, I don't know, but it came out. I said, boy, you know, you've made cupcakes before, but Gabby, these are good, but I've tasted better. You know, I said, well, she says, it's the box. And she was right. You can have a box that says cake mix. You make the cake, and it's really not quite the way you tasted or remembered cake. So, you may have a taste of the old Pentecost that you've lived through. My prayer is that you understand that the portals that are here, because you see, we have an open heaven here. God did that work a long time ago. It was confirmed over and over. But I have a sense it's opening wider. Okay? Wisdom and understanding are coming in at a deeper degree. And we're not going to be looking at the problem for the box, because the box is also your thinking. My sister here gave us a teaching a while back about how handy that box is, because it remembers all the old stuff. But the spirit within us has all the new available. Amen?
Amen.
So I also responded, all of the promises in our hearts will be unlocked, and the regions will taste the presence of angels. Hebrews 1, verse 14. I've taught you on that many times, so that's kind of old news for you. We welcome the glory of God, and we hope the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit to have full control in me. It starts always with me. All of us, as you have prepared for us now and to taste the worldwide refreshing that you have prepared for us, and the words of King Jesus to come alive in all the whole world, All of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. That's Isaiah 30, verses 15 and 16. So, there is also a great new day in Christ. This is now visible in cities in the U.S. They're on fire. And there are riots. Holy Spirit, I need understanding and I need to know, what is your plan for today? And he reminded me, intercede as I lead you. Don't get caught in too much news. Don't get caught in too much news. You see, the good news is between your Bible and you can get that anytime. The other news is available to you wherever you are, in your car, in your home, wherever. So reminding yourself of these things, being aware that his plan is unfolding and doing what he's called us to do is to taste the new. You see, when I tasted that cake, it didn't have the memory for me of something outstanding. It had something missing. I can truthfully say that over the years, watching God do things to awaken us to the next level of his plan is what I believe he wants us to become. So if you hold on a second there, I'm not leaving.
I won't let you leave.
Now I'm being told
where you think you're going. That's right.
The book that I'm quoting from is Unlocking the Mysteries of the Kingdom by Wade Taylor. And I want to just give you a little taste . The third day speaks of the millennial age. This is page 118. The time in which Jesus said he would be perfected. So, there's another scripture that is quite important. He said today, the second day of our spiritual experience, is the time during which we establish a personal relationship with Jesus and qualify through a process of testing and proving to become overcomers. And Gail and I talked about that, in fact, again this week. The importance of this statement is have made. That's in Revelations 5:10. Have made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So we're not going to be taken out of the earth for the sake of some people's tradition. But Revelations 5:10, he has made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. The important statement here is have made us. In other words, you're not going to make yourself, which expresses the progression of our growth into spiritual maturity, the inner processing of the Lord to prepare us to rightly handle this high level of spiritual authority. We shall reign. In other words, kings and priests will rule and reign, which will subdue the nations at this present time during the second day, when we are gathered together as a body of believers. We meet together as being a headless body. Jesus is with us spiritually as the unseen head of his body. But bodily, he is in the heavens, seated at the right hand of all power and authority. This perfection of which Jesus is speaking is the time of his second coming, in which the corporate body and the head will manifestly come together as being one, which it starts on a personal basis with checking in with the Lord when you decide to do something. Lord, is this what you want for me? If it's not for me, then close the door. If I'm heading in the wrong direction, nudge me, do whatever you have to do to get me back on track. In Ephesians 1:10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's multiplies, T-I-M-E-S, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. That's the heavenly kingdom. Even him. And you are complete in him, Colossians 2:10. On a side note, last week, I went by St. Anne's Cemetery. Of course, I went and brought flowers, and I brought my great-grandson yesterday. We watered all the plants to make sure that everything was in good order. And of course, I'm trying to wake him up that he needs to learn how to read because he's not interested in school. So I'm telling him on, you know, all the headstones, the headings and the names and so on, and I'm showing him that he's got to learn how to read. Because I'm way ahead of you, buddy, and you know, you got to wake up here. And okay. So I said, okay. But when I went by there just a few days ago, I heard how many people in that cemetery are going to come out in the first resurrection. And you know what I heard? Very few. Because they were so happy being dead, they'll never rise. That's not funny. That's true.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
Well, think about it. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you're saved. Okay? Some people have been praying year after year after year for someone to take care of them when they die. And I was there and I did that. So they're so focused on dead. Death is their covenant. It's not life. It's not resurrection. Jesus came out of the grave, and when he sent his spirit, it was the promise of the resurrection. That's why Pentecost is what it is. So hold on to your hats and your seats right now. In his first coming, Jesus came as a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. The enemy sought to take his life and prevent him from fulfilling his calling. His life was protected, and he grew in wisdom and in stature. As he faced the intense opposition that came against him, because he rose above and overcame these opposing forces, he qualified in life experience to become both our Savior and the righteous judge of Satan. That's something you need to remember. Jesus is the righteous judge, and he took the keys away from Satan. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. No, I don't want to suffer. Well, you may never get to be obedient.
Amen.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. That's Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. If you remember none of the other scriptures, remember Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. If Jesus suffered in order to be completed as the firstborn son of the grave, how about you and me? There are times you have suffered and you've questioned. And as you overcome, you become that new creation that he's planned for you. The Jews of that day knew that this was the time when the Messiah would come. But they had a preconceived idea. The box, the mind, preconceived idea as to how this would take place. They were looking for a lion, a military leader who would drive out the Romans and make Israel free and prosperous. So where is their focus? This realm. This realm. But Jesus did not do what they expected him to do. Instead, came as a lamb to bring redemption. He was rejected and crucified. The second coming, watch this now, of Jesus will also be different from the expectations of many. In Revelation 1:13, he says, we have a picture of how Jesus will look when he appears. In the midst of the seven candles, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet like to fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters, Revelations 1, verse 13 and 15. At this present time, Jesus, one like the Son of Man, is in the midst of the church, fully covered with a garment from his neck to his feet. There is a hidden work, not seen by the nominal church, nor by the world, that is taking place within those who are under his garment, overcomers within the church, as they are being prepared for the time when this garment will be removed. Now, the lamb will begin to function as a lion. There will be a military leader, and it's the church. I taught that last week when I shared with you guys on Joel 2. He's looking to prepare an army. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, Romans 8:22. This one, like the Son of Man, overcomers, can also be understood as being the spiritually mature, hair white like wool. That's old, that's us, some of us. Corporate Jesus, who is at this present time, is fully clothed, yet hidden. And his back, golden girdle, until the appointed time. Take a deep breath. Say, Lord, I need understanding.
Lord, I need understanding.
Because it's starting to get heavy.
Because it's starting to get heavy.
I didn't realize that corporate Jesus, was visible in the book of Revelation. And I'm one of those overcomers. And that garment is on top of me. Hiding me for now. Until I'm fully mature. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought there, so that there was neither hammer nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was being built. 1 Kings 6:7. That's the first temple. Each stone that was set into the temple was prepared for a perfect fit away from the temple site. Then it was brought and set into its place within the temple. Are you ready for this one? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:3-4. This unveiling will begin with substantial increase of the Lord's manifest presence, or parousia, being made visible to those who earnestly seek him. Hereafter there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that last day. At that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. When Isaiah turned away from his dependence on all earthly provision and security, King Uzziah, and looked up, he saw the Lord seated on a throne. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah 6:1. In the New Testament, we are the temple. We used to sing that song. Did you mean it? His train filling the temple, us, signifies that the Lord is not far away. He be not far from every one of us, Acts 17:27b. Rather, he is very close. The throne is a dimension of being, not a faraway place in the heaven. In the time of his parousia, or his presence, he will openly take his place as our head. We live in time. The Lord lives in eternity. In eternity, there is no distance. The Lord is much closer to us than we may realize. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit you at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool." Acts 2:34-35. It is from this position in his throne that Jesus will begin to reveal himself, or his presence, to a governmental people whom he is making ready to rule with him in his throne. For the earnest expectations of the creation waits for the manifestations of the sons of God, Romans 8:19. The Lord said that in the third day, he would be perfected. The third day from his resurrection is actually now. This third day perfection speaks of the body or the overcomers, his bride and his head, Jesus functioning together as one. This means that many changes are about to take place within the church. It is very important to understand that the head is being joined to the body. Overcomers who are presently sitting in the pews, not joined to the fivefold ministries, that is functioning in the pulpit. Therefore, the body is beginning to function under the direct dictates of the head. We are now living in the time when this will happen today and tomorrow. Speaks of the church age and all that pertains to church function, in which we can rightly testify, I have Jesus. We go beyond this level of spiritual experience, which is grace, when we unconditionally commit all that we are and have giftings to Jesus and make him our personal Lord, our government, thereby becoming a kingdom people, third day. Now we can say Jesus has me instead of me having him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, amen.
The message of the church relates to our time of preparation. Those who are being prepared for this end time purpose of the Lord are continuing to function in the church, but are moving beyond that which pertains to the church into the kingdom. This speaks of transition and change. I could go on, but I have a sense that that's far enough. So I want you to just close your eyes now and say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
That's a lot of ammunition.
That's a lot of ammunition.
I'm asking for understanding.
I'm asking for understanding.
To be fully alive in me.
To be fully alive in me.
Holy Spirit, don't stop.
Holy Spirit, don't stop.
Take me higher.
Take me higher.
Give me an understanding.
Give me an understanding.
That I can be a priest.
That I can be a priest.
And I can be a king.
And I can be a king.
And still be like Jesus.
And still be like Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I've cried out before. And I've sung the song. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask to be like him. How many of you sang that song before? Now, do you understand what it means?
Yes.
So I rest my case, believing that when we begin to comprehend what he's looking for, what he's trying to give us, so that we can be more than ever before copies of the firstborn son.
Amen.
You see, many people say, I'm born again, but they haven't tasted yet. Holy Spirit, for me, became a crash program. And I can look back now and see how much he pressed in and how much pressure he put on me. And then he gave me enough grace to carry it out. See, it's one thing to have a revelation of the Lord. It's something else when you hear his word to carry out what he tells you to do. And then not to go with your own plan, but to go with his plan and trust him to take you through. You see, when I go by St. Anne's Church, which is now, forgot the name of it.
Crossland.
Crossways in Three Rivers. I look what God has done. Okay? I look at how many lives have been changed, and I've got Mrs. Comfortable with me so I can ask her to confirm, because she knows some of where we came from. And how far did he really plan for us to go? I'll be honest with you, I had no clue at the beginning, except to obey what he told me that day. When he told me to sell the business, it was, yes, do what you are told to do and question later. I had all kinds of plans, but he closed all those doors.
It doesn't work that way.
It just worked out totally different than what I would have expected. Why? Because it was his plan. There are things in your lives right now. Some of you have been tested and being tested over and over and over. And you know what the nicest part about God is? He doesn't quit just because we go around the mountain 20 times, 40 times, 60 times. As many times as he needs to have us go around. Until we get it. Until it clicks in. Until understanding comes in. Because understanding is absolutely necessary. Because you can have a revelation, but not understand it. You can have a word of knowledge and know that you're designed to do a certain work for God. Well, if you look at Moses, he's 80 years old and he's just getting started and he don't want to go. And he's going to put up with those Israelites for 40 more years and he's fed up. They're hard-headed. So are Christians.
That sounds familiar.
Good word. You see, there are corners that I have watched myself be adjusted by God. And it's like you're going down the road of life and you're not able to discern quite what he wants. Yet he gives you a hint. And then you go with the hint and think, ah, I got it. And what do? Crash. Yes. Amen? All right. When you crash, what are you doing? He's asking you to humble yourself. He's asking you to readjust. Readjust the path that he's looking to put you on. Yeah, you can veer to the left, you can veer to the right, and eventually he'll get you back where you belong. Because he has a calling on you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Amen. You see, many are called. Few are chosen. Some of you have been chosen to be here. And in that choice that you chose, there is a war that goes on. Because the whole emotion of you, the whole flesh part of you, the soul part, the mind, the will, the emotions, they fight the spirit man. And they war against God's plan. And they try to get you back into what your traditions have been. And your traditions are quite comfortable. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
I know what to expect. It's going to be comfy here. You come to the house of prayer, it's going to be just the opposite. It will not be comfortable. Because you're going to have stirring going on. You're going to have a real test inside your own heart. Can I really do what he's called me to do? Can I please him above all things? Can I be a king and a priest? And the Lord says, yes, you can. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost your emotions. It's going to cost your thinking. And it's going to cost what you think is right for yourself.
Amen.
And the adjustments will come through grace and favor and major adjustments. And as they come, you slowly begin to see more light. And more light at the end of the tunnel. You have a tendency to want to quit. You have a tendency to go backwards. And I've been there more than once. I heard from someone this week that was in a tough spot. and they're crying out, "Oh, I can't do this." And I said, "I don't agree." Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're looking to strengthen yourself, you're in trouble.
Amen.
So by trusting him to strengthen you, he will do it. So what is he planning to do with these angels that he's released to us? Signs and wonders down the way. Changes that are going to happen in your everyday life. And assistance that will come when you least expect it. And the joy of watching him do what he said he would do that you didn't have the energy to do or the strength to do on your own.
Right on.